We're going to start. We've been talking, I'm just going to give you a little review of what we've been talking about the last few weeks. We started talking about fear, and then we started talking, last week we talked about don't be offended, and today we're going to continue with some more mental health. A lot of the warnings that I've given you guys for the last 6 years, go back in the archives and you're going to see a lot of the things that we've talked about are here. And so now that some things are here, a lot of you have been prepared. And if you haven't been, please go back and listen to those. But we need to be prepared how to deal with our emotions, our feelings, our losses, as so many things have been taken away, the loss of fellowship. And so, but today, first of all, I'm just going to give you a quick warning. Stay out of being offended, because we all are tempted to be offended because we're all on different pages. We all have different beliefs. Some people where you're working, you're hearing just certain things, and other people are hearing other things. And chaos and confusion is here. So purpose in your heart that you're not going to be offended, even if people don't agree. A lot of us are very strongly opinionated, and we found out other people are too. Well, you know what? You can't change people. Only God can. So we just have to love people where they're at, and hopefully they'll love us where we're at too. So Matthew 24:10 says, many shall be offended. This is a sign of the end times. You're going to see people offended. You go to the grocery store, and they show you offended looks. They stare at you. They're going to betray one another, and they shall hate one another. And to be offended, what happens, it actually severs your relationships, and it's not worth it. Step back and see the big agenda here. We want to talk about the big agenda here, not just the little things to distract us. What's really happening? What's happening around the world? This is a global governance. This is something that we've never experienced before. And in Revelation 6, I've been telling you all there, go there and see. I believe that we are seeing the white horse with the crown and the bow, which symbolizes an event. We've had an event here, and the white horse comes in as peaceful, as declaring peace, but the Bible talks about deception. So the enemy is a deceiver, right? And also the crown, as you all know, means corona. And at some point in time, I don't know if this is going away, and we have to prepare for the worst, but believe for the best. So part of this is preparing ourselves with our families and also preparing our own hearts, which we're going to talk about a lot today. So don't be offended. People are going to be offended. That's why I went off Facebook myself. Too many comments. People are angry. You're shut up in like a house arrest, and people are mad. They're angry. They're upset. Some things get to open. Some things don't. We have friends in Florida that told us the strip joints open, but the churches aren't. Now, this is definitely, can you see what's essential and what's not, and what the system that's coming? The bars are open, but the churches aren't. So there's a whole lot of chaos and confusion. And just know that this is planned chaos and confusion. And I believe this is the white horse. You have to know that this is the white horse with the bow. And it says they're going to conquer. Doesn't say they're going to be defeated. It says that this horseman, when he comes in, he is a conquering thing. And this is definitely what's happening. A lot of things are being conquered. Will it lift from time to time? I believe so. But there's things we need to know. But the main thing we have to deal with is our own heart. Okay, so many shall be offended. It's going to sever relationships. And make sure it's not you. If people disagree with you, which you're going to find everywhere, everybody's on a different page. Give people grace. Let people, let them know you love them and your family. They don't understand. They don't know what you do. Just keep loving people where they're at, because this is a very dangerous time, and we have to live every day to its fullest, okay? So guard your own heart, Proverbs 4:23, for what's coming. What's coming, what's here, this is the beginning. This is not the end. This is the beginning of sorrows. What does that mean? Chaos, confusion, to divide us. So the Bible says to be wise as serpents. We need to watch as serpents. They don't have eyelids. They watch 24/7. Even though they might be sleeping, they're at a state of watchfulness. We need to be watching. And we need to be watching what's really going on, what they are not reporting, what's going on behind the narrative, behind what they are saying, what's really going on, what is happening. Our world has changed. Now, Psalms 94:20, and I'm just kind of reviewing from the last week. Whoever controls a nation's laws controls a nation's agendas and values. These people that we have elected, or they according to the John F. Kennedy files, he said, they will be selected. Are we at that state? Think of that. Are they selected for this time and this hour? They have agendas. What's an agenda? It's a plan. There's many, many agendas. Agenda 21. Some of these agendas are being put into place now. The balancing of nature, the carbon footprint. They think there's too many people on the earth. We've talked about that. Guidestones, different things. But Psalms 94:20 says the world will be changed. How is it changed? By the changing of the laws. The throne of iniquity frameth mischief by a law. All of a sudden, executive orders become laws. We're seeing them change daily now. And what does it say in Psalms 94? They condemn innocent blood. But the Bible says what? That they will be cut off. And this is the other thing. We win. No matter what happens, you have to know we have peace in knowing the gospel that we win. But they had a phrase, the Nazis did, and I hate to use those words because then they put me on shadow banning, but I think this phrase is very important. They had a phrase which covered all abuses by the state. And you need to know this because this is part of what the agenda is to control your safety, because they're going to tell you what safety is now. It's for your safety. All abuses by the state were covered by this one statement. It's for your safety. And what happened? A lot of their liberties got taken away. What happened? They couldn't fellowship. The churches were closed down for your safety. So we need to know history does repeat itself when we don't learn. And just a couple of scriptures. Job 13:4 says, you are forgers of lies. Ye are all physicians of no value. Psalms 58:3, the wicked are estranged from the womb. They go astray as soon as they are born, speaking lies. 1 Timothy 6:20, O Timothy, keep that which is committed to thy trust, avoiding profane and vain babblings. Have you heard people on TV just babble? You're like, would you get to the point? Profane and vain babblings and oppositions of what? Science. Everything now and a lot of the things that I've read because of what they've learned from trials of just doing the New World Order in different places, yes, and I don't want to go into detail, but they found out what worked and what didn't work. It was trial runs. And of oppositions of science, everything now they said, we're going to use science. Science is, and here's the scripture in there. And in oppositions of science, falsely so-called. So what is that? Great pretenders of knowledge. False teachings. Why they reject the Bible, how man was created, heaven and hell and everything else. So the Antichrist system is going to use science, falsely called. All of their data, all of their charts and all these different things. And a lot of us are finding out some of those things are very, very, what? Inaccurate. But I do believe this is a preparation phase. Now, today I want to, just to continue on this last part of the review, 1 Corinthians 14:8 says, for if the trumpet give an uncertain sound, who shall prepare himself for battle? We're hearing so much doublespeak. We're hearing so much, one person says this, one person says that, one doctor says this, one governor says this. This is all chaos that's planned. Because if you know the order they want to bring in, it's order out of chaos. So there's going to be so much confusion in the states, amongst the races, amongst the classes, amongst this protesting, which is going to get very political, and they want to push it to violence. We have to know that then they're going to, what are they going to do? Their plans are to call in the United Nations. We do not want this to happen because then we're going into a full, right now we're in a soft martial law, very soft, but if this rioting and all this stuff happens, we're going to go what into a full martial law, which is when they call in the United Nations. So we have to know, are these people double speaking? Are they telling us the truth? Why is it all turning political now? If it's about our health, why is it about Democrats and Republicans? We should all be coming together for one common cause, right? Well, it's going to get very political, and this is a political election year. So something I read from 2006 from my notes, It says, this is abundantly clear. The new order affects our lives. Because when I was preaching this 6 years ago, nobody wanted to hear this. Actually, it was more than 6 years ago now. But nobody wanted to hear this, including myself. I didn't want to hear this. But it says, this order will affect our lives. It's going to affect your future, the future of your children. It's going to affect many of the things within the borders of America, including new laws that are coming. Again, Psalms 94. Changes in the liberties of the people. Changes in religious freedom. This is a big attack on Christianity. This has never happened before, where liquor stores are open and churches are closed. Criminals are let out of jail. This has never happened before, where they let the criminals out of jail. We're in a new season, and it's an uncertain sound. I mean, they're like, why are they letting the criminals out? And why are they, all these different things I don't want to get into. But religious freedom and changing in the present tolerance towards Christianity. And I've been sharing about the New World Order, the religion that's coming. It's not surfaced yet, but get ready. Something big is, they call it the Great Revival is coming. Their revival of coming. So we're going to see some things here, I'm sure, within the next few months. And then it said it's going to affect our economy. As you know, the plan is to get rid of the middle class. If you have not known, we've shared this. This is a plan to the rich get richer and the poor get poorer. And they want balance with the nations. So they want to bring down the superpower of America and balance it out with the other nations. They're real big on balance. If you look at their symbolism, they always have balance. Balance what? They think too many people are here. Get back to nature. Get back to the right carbon footprint. But it's all to affect, it's going to affect the economy, and it says it's going to affect your jobs. It's going to affect the dollar. And if you don't know, we're moving towards a digital dollar, a digital wallet, they call it. All while you're in your house is not going anywhere. Things are changing. Things are happening. You go outside and you see new cameras on every intersection. Have you seen that? Digital things are happening. The dollar, you go some places now and they're telling you don't touch it. It's money's dirty. We've told you before that they want to bring in a cashless society. And this is global. They will all have a digital dollar. So they're going to eventually eliminate cash and say that it's got the virus. You can't touch it. That's exactly what's happening right now in some of the stores we went to. People are so afraid. This is going to affect the dollar, the markets, and it's going to affect war and peace. And we need to stay filled with oil. Because again, what is this order? It's uniting of the world's superpowers. The Bible in Revelations 6:15, they're the merchandisers, I can't even read my own, of labor, the merchandisers, the kings of the earth, the great men, they call them, the rich men, the chief captains and the mighty men. These are the superpowers, what the Bible says. And we're seeing the book of Revelations, Revelation 6, 1 and 2. Right now, I believe that's where we are. We're starting to see domination, laws passed, everything. Now you can't have a funeral because now everybody's being tagged and bagged, basically. And it's hard to see that this may continue. To secure and maintain global peace, safety. Now we're seeing some of what they say, it's all for your safety. Well, we're coming into, it's all about security. It's all about security. Everything is going to be controlled. And it's very, very sad and depressing. And that's why today I want to talk about loss. How do we deal with the loss of freedoms? How do we deal with the loss of a job? How do we deal with some of these losses that we see and could continue in the future? So this is, watch out for the agendas. Step back from what you're hearing and what you're seeing and see the agendas. See the bigger picture of what the Bible says is coming. And you know, don't be so emotionally attached to these people do this and they should do, everybody's telling each other what to do. Step back from all that and see what's really, really happening. Get out of your emotions, get into your Bible and see that these things have been told. These are end time events. And you're going to see a lot of disorder. You're going to see a lot of chaos. Chaos is going to be the Antichrist system. So you're wondering, we're used to order. We're used to having news tell us the same thing. Instead of now we have a governor of one state telling us one thing and a governor from another contradicting, or even different senators contradicting their own governors. This is all going to continue to be chaotic. And you have to rise above it, because this is what the new system is going to be. They want to bring in order. They want to bring in security. They want to bring in safety. We know how to take care of ourselves, but this is going to be forced even more so upon us. So it's chaos and division, disorder and irregularities. God is not the author of confusion. So who is? The enemy wants us confused. Okay, that was all just kind of review. This is what I wanted to talk about today. We're going to talk about the loss of familiar, the familiar. Some of you have had a lot of losses in your life, to lose a parent, to lose a child, to lose a great friend. Those are terrible losses. And if we could, wouldn't we control that and stop it? But we can't control who lives and who dies. I used to think we could when we were back in those prayer movements and we had so much authority. We could boss God around and we could tell him. I mean, wow. Now they're seeing all that stuff is not really happening. We have very little control of what's happening. And a lot of these ministries are losing some of their so-called status because of the lies they've told. But loss is one of the companions we have throughout our whole life. Life is a mixture of pain and pleasure. Good things happen. When people get married, we get so excited, and we bring presents and flowers and food. But then when people die, we hate funerals. It's hard to celebrate a death. It's going to get harder, because if everyone's got this virus, they're going to say they all have to be cremated now. And you can see that happening. It happened with Tim's dad, his friend. You can't see these people. They got to go through their cars down the town, right?
Main Street.
Stood
on the sidewalk, and that was it.
Off to be cremated. And wow, this is so hard on us relatives to see our grandparents die and you can't be with them, or your parents. Some of you are still blessed to have parents. But these kind of things now we got to face. So how do we deal with it? How do we deal with loss? How do we deal with things are changing? The familiar, just to be able to get up and go and do certain things where everything's closed, you drive downtown, everything looks like a morgue. Some places are reopening to some extent, but I'm telling you, this fall, they're already telling you it's coming back worse and a vengeance. Who knows? But I'm just saying, we need to prepare our own heart for things we can't control, because a lot of this is out of our control. We've never been taught how to handle the losses of life. Whoever taught you how to deal and mourn when someone dies, they didn't know how either. That's why they didn't train you. You don't learn it in churches. In churches, they tell you, don't mourn. You have no right mourning. You should be rejoicing. Well, in the Old Testament, they mourned. God let them. There is a season of mourning. And you need to learn how to grieve. And you need to learn how to let yourself face these situations, deal with them. I remember when I didn't think I was going to be able to see my granddaughter. And I was just like, this is a habit I have. It's familiar. So often, this is what we do. This is what we do. And all of a sudden, that was just taken away. And can you go to state to state? What's going to happen? There's so many things that our emotions have not caught up with. And one day I was like, I'm so sad. Why am I sad? I'm grieving. We're all grieving. You're grieving whether you think you are or not, because the familiar that we have known has been taken away from us overnight, just like boom. And I had my granddaughter talk to me, and she said, I said, what? She had like a whole list. I miss this cousin, I miss that cousin, and I miss Papa, and I miss you, and I miss... She was a little social butterfly that went to everybody's all the time, and this is like unbelievable for someone that's 7 and a half. They miss the familiar. They miss grandma. They miss, you know, seeing them. And now that you can only see your grandparents through a glass, and some not even at that point, it's going to affect us. And to me, I'm a person that likes fellowship. I like to listen to what God's telling to other people. What are you learning? Are you seeing this? Because we balance each other out. None of us know it all. We only see through a glass darkly, the Bible says. Tim goes, I don't like that verse. Yeah, we like to have the full light on, but we don't know at this point. We only see, and sometimes this Revelation 6:1 verse, it came alive when this started happening. It was just like, I've never knew what the white horse meant or what the crown meant or what the authority and the dominion it was going to have until we started seeing, wow, this is changing laws. This is changing the way we live. This is changing everything. Closing down some businesses, and some are said are essential, some are not. Who's making these decisions of you can go to the bar, but you can't go to, who's making these decisions? This is traumatizing for many people. So what happens whenever you get attached to something and that attachment is broken, there's going to be a loss. So if we're connected through fellowship and now we can't see each other, that attachment's broken, we're grieving, we're missing each other. God created us to fellowship.
Yes,
let's do it. So loss, you no longer have something. Or that loss could be a loss of income. You're used to going to a job and now you have to stay home. It's going to affect you. It's going to affect you mentally. How do you deal with it? We're going to get into some of that. Loss of jobs, loss of fellowship. Some are losing their health. The older that you get, you tend to lose different things. You lose your hearing, you lose your sight. Some people lose their hair. Some people grow more, like Tim. But just to lighten you up. Things happen. In Hebrews 10:25, it says, do not forsake the assembling of yourselves together. That's a Christian principle. We need to assemble to what? To be nurtured, to fellowship with, to sharpen each other. You know, well, this person doesn't agree with me, but I want to hear where they're coming from. We need that. Whether you don't like it or not, you still need to hear the opinions of other people, because then maybe later on you can think, maybe that is true. Maybe I am wrong. We need that fellowship. That's what it does. Otherwise, we kind of all think we're little Hitlers in ourselves. You know, we all know everything. We're also, this is what I know. And this, but when you hear somebody else's point of view, you're like, wow, that's true too. Maybe there are two sides. Maybe that is another way of seeing things. So we need that. But now we don't have that. We don't have that emotional intimacy that God created us to have. It's been taken away, like bam. Again, a loss happens when your attachment to a person, a job, or a dream doesn't happen, or it breaks up. You have a dog that you love. It's part of your family, and it dies. Oh, don't cry. It's just a dog. People are so unsupportive. Or, well, they're in heaven now. Rejoice, they're in heaven. Well, yeah, they're in heaven, but I'm on earth, and I hurt right now because I've lost them. We have never been taught how to deal with loss, how to help other people through the loss. And if they're not over it in 2 weeks, well, we don't want to see them anymore. They're kind of a downer. We have not been taught in the church how to help people grieve, how to help people through loss. And grief happens. It's going to happen whether you pretend, whether you stick your head in the sand, say, bless God, I don't care. It didn't hurt me. It's affecting you. We get affected. One day you wake up and you're kind of depressed and you're like, why? Well, you're missing everybody. You're missing the normal, the familiar. You're missing your friends. You're missing your people that you work with, whatever it is. So with this broken attachments, grief happens. It's just what happens. And especially when there's a death involved. Now, if you can prepare for someone, like they're getting older, it's not as bad because you're pre-grieving. But sudden death, car accidents or something like that, there's no way to prepare. It's just traumatic. It's just more grief. Because another reason why is you can never replace that. The thing you lost will never be again. If you lost a parent, you can't replace them. If you lost a child or grandchild, you can't replace them. And so for Christians to just slap you on the side of the head, basically, and say, be positive, get over it. No, that is really abusive. You have to learn how to handle grief and losses with your friends. Check in with them. People are losing their parents right now. They're getting older. Another whole set of people are going to be with him. They're going to grieve, and allow them to grieve. And especially you men, you have to know you haven't been grieving right. That's why you act so weird. What happens there? You got to be tough. Bless God, I don't shed a tear. I don't care. That's how men basically have been trained. Toughen up and take it. You're in the military. Well, you're not in the military. You're in human life, and you lose your parents. You are allowed to cry. You're allowed to hold somebody and weep. When my son lost his mother-in-law, who he loves very much, it hasn't even been a year. Well, it'll be a year ago this month. And we went to the funeral. And the moment he kind of had himself together, and the moment he saw me, he came running towards me, grabbed me, and he just wept and wept and wept. And I took him in the back room, and I knew he had to get this out. And I knew I was the safe place for him. And that's what we have to teach men. It's okay to weep when you need to get that release, because tears are the gift of God. You don't have to pretend it didn't bother you. You lost something. And that's what I'm saying. I kind of jerked you just on purpose, because you have to know it's okay to cry. Children don't have coping skills how to grieve. Children are seeing people with masks, and this one little girl says, why can't I see their faces? What's wrong? Is everybody sick? Is the whole world sick now? They don't understand. Their familiar is gone, and a new picture has come before these children. But they don't have coping skills like adults do. And most of the time, you don't realize those kids have emotions. And as parents, you don't get, I know something happened with Topaz when he was in sixth grade. One of his best friends died. And actually, he went to church camp and got born again. I was so thankful for that. But he called crying. And at the time, I didn't know he really had a connection with this kid. But he was always one that tried to get out of things anyway. He just wanted to come home. I just want to come get out of school. I was like, no, you stay in school. And now I thought, that was really wrong. I should have let him come home and grieve. But I didn't know he was really grieving. I thought he was just playing a trick on me. But then his mother called and said she was so thankful for our boys' relationships. And in Orono, they actually named a field after this kid. But I didn't know how important that was to let him grieve, is what I'm saying, is that we've all made mistakes in this area because we didn't know children really do have emotions. And if they lose their animals, their stuffed pets, when they're stuffed animals when they're little, these things, they're attached to it. And one time my Topaz had a bear, and he was really little, but we left it in Miami and we went back to get it, and the bear was gone. Well, actually, we couldn't get in because there was a shooting there at that very Howard Johnson, I think the name of the hotel was back then. And he cried and cried and cried because he lost his bear. Well, there's an attachment there. You sleep with that bear every day. You see it, you play with it, and now it's gone. There's going to be grief. Well, it's the same way. You're going to your job every day. Now it's gone. That attachment's gone. You're going to have grief. You go to church, you see all your friends. We all go out to eat and like to party after. Now that's gone. You're going to grieve. Right? So you have to know your body, your mind, emotions, you're going through things, but children are too. In this time, be sensitive. My little granddaughter lost her grandma a year ago, and every time I see her, she talks about Amma. She talks about her, and it's like, okay, we're going to talk about this again, but you know what? It's important to her. She lost a very strong attachment. She's very, very attached to her grandma's. And now her grandma's gone. And she talks about it all the time. She's grieving. She's still grieving. It has just now been a year. You can't tell people when to stop grieving. Get over it now. So when she I miss her. I miss her. And I said, I miss her too. She was my friend too. We talk about it because kids have emotions and they're also not knowing where to put them. And if you don't have anybody to know how to deal with grief, you think, oh, it's okay, stop that. You've grieved long enough. How long is long enough? They come in waves. As you know, if you lose somebody, you get this shock and then denial, and then it might go and relieve, but then it'll come back again, especially on holidays. Certain things happen, you're going to grieve. You lost your husband, and all of a sudden, you didn't just lose your husband. You lost your guy that does your taxes, who does your yard. If you lost your wife, you didn't just lose, you lost your cook, you lost your best friend, you lost someone to watch the news with. There's a whole lot of other losses you have that person did that can never be replaced. So now we're coming into a time of uncertainty where people we love are disappearing or dying or different. How do we handle the unfamiliar? God wants us to know how to have good mental health, even in these times. He wants us to still overcome. We have to know He said, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. Did he ever say you weren't going to go through tribulation or hard times? We're in those, the beginnings of those hard times right now. It's not the end. Some of you think, I'm going to die tomorrow. It's over. No, it looked like it sometimes, but it's. And remember, we have an appointment. And if your appointment's not ready, you can't go before God lets you go. So the devil can't take you too early either. Just that kind of always kind of gives me peace. But most children don't get any help from parents because the parents don't know how to grieve either. So they make it worse. And then you get a child that grows up that doesn't know how to express their emotions. They stuff it. And then it comes out like this volcano later because they haven't been taught how to grieve a loss. So now they have accumulative losses. They lost this, they lost this, they lost this. They never grieved properly over the one loss. And now they've got five more losses, and then they just get angry. They get bitter. They're mad because they've never dealt with their mental health. Physical losses. We lose things all the time, but we lose our shape. I remember back, I could eat anything I wanted. I used to think I was fat at 118 pounds. Well, I'll take that fat back, that kind of, that was. You lose things as you age, and you have to kind of grieve that. Oh, man, my first gray hair. Oh, my first wrinkle. Oh, my second wrinkle. Oh, my God, is that me looking at myself in the mirror? That's somebody else. Ah, scary. We all kind of go through these changes. The more and the longer you live, the more losses you're going to have. I remember when I was little, I lost my grandmother. They sent me to patrol camp, Camp Vanasa. Vanasik, the best campy on the land. I'll spare you. But I went there and I was grieving the whole time because my grandma was having a funeral and I couldn't go. I had to go to Camp Vanasik because I got elected to do patrol. You know, the patrol. I had to go to patrol camp. It wasn't fun because I lost my grandma. And nobody taught me how to grieve. They basically thought I was too small. They just kind of go, you know, they didn't let me see any pictures or anything. It was just like, bye. And that's what we do with kids sometimes. We just think, well, they're kind of a bother and I have things to do. So let's send them over here. Let's give them to this aunt. Let's go. That child has emotions. They need to know what's happening. Someone needs to talk to them, hold their hand, pray with them, let them release their sorrow, let them talk about their losses. How come they miss grandma? Different things. None of that is provided because people don't think children grieve. They do. They have emotions. And if they don't know how to grieve when they're little, they're going to bring some of those same patterns into adulthood and cause a lot more problems later. When death isn't involved, it's hard to grieve because we're like, well, you know, this and this happened. When you go to a funeral, you have a casket, you see a body, and you can cry, you can be with friends that are all grieving at the same time. That's very important. I pray that does not get taken away. That is very important. But we also grieve over things that don't die. They're still, they died in a sense, like now the big churches can't even get together. We can't have praise and worship, all these things. There's a death, but there's been no dying. Do you know what I mean? But we're still losing the familiar. So today we face the loss of the familiar, the routine, friends, church, shopping. Just going sometimes shopping was relaxing. You get out of the house and you just look. Now it's traumatic. Because people glare at you or you glare at them and nobody wants to talk to each other. How sad. Everybody's been traumatized. Everybody's fearful. You can't dine in restaurants. Florida, I heard they opened up some restaurants. You can in some places, but it's all distancing and different. Now, when we face a loss, how to get through some of this, you have to know it's permanent. Some things are permanent. Some things are temporary. Sometimes you lose a job. You get fired, that's devastating because you had no control of it. But parts of our life, you're going to lose, and then all of a sudden something else will come and you'll have something else. How do I move on past something that I didn't want to end? Something that's ended, it's final. We need closure. God's created us to have closure. And you don't get closure, you grieve. Closure says goodbye. At a funeral, you say goodbye. You say goodbye. To, you know, sometimes they would put that coffin down and you're like, wow, that's it. Or you put them in the ground. I don't like doing funerals, but I've had to do a few. And it's just like, that is such a final goodbye. It's such a grieving. But even then, that's not the end of your grieving. You will continually have, if you've been invested in something, If you have a strong relationship with someone and that is ended, even if you're ended now over being offended, that's why I say don't let an offense stop your friendship. It's not worth it. Greater things are going to start happening. We need each other in this hour. You need your friends right now. You need to be able to talk to them. You need to be able to bounce things off of them. And if you don't agree on one thing, don't talk about that one thing. If with your relatives don't see what's going on, talk about what you can talk about, because these relationships are vital. They're very, very, very important. So today we face the loss of the familiar. You all know that too well. But when something is lost forever, it's final. You have to say goodbye. Church has never taught us how to say goodbye. We've always been told that grieving isn't faith, and you're weak if you cry. And I want to tell you, tears are God's gift to you, because tears, when you have that emotion of tears, there are no words you can say. And it's releasing the part of pain in your heart without words. So regardless of, men can't cry, little boys can't cry. They've been taught by their mothers mostly, don't cry over that, don't cry over that, suck it up, take it like a man. And there are wimpy guys, okay, I'm not going to that extreme. But the balance of how God created you to have emotions, to know how to deal with your emotions, how to deal with loss, how to grieve, how to allow yourself to say goodbye in a healthy way, saying goodbye to certain things, certain freedoms that we thought we had. I'm telling you, the big picture, some of these things will never return. And we have to grieve them. We have to grieve them. And just, I said to Tim, what if the days we're seeing right now are the good days? What if this is the beginning of things really getting worse? Live your life today. Live every moment of today. Do what you can do. Get outside. Do what you want as far as you can. Live your life today. Instead of being stressed out and mad about everything, try to enjoy it. Try to do, it's summertime here now. We've been in the house forever. If you have a balcony or a patio, get outside. Do what you can. Enjoy your life. Because we have to look to the God of comfort. 2 Corinthians 1:3-11, we're not going to get there. But he is the God of comfort. We have to look to the God of comfort. Grief, it means to mourn. Through grief, we express our feelings about what we lost. Feeling sadness, fear, anger, self-pity, bitterness, shock, helplessness. People are facing these right now. You go down the road and you're driving and people are just furious. They're angry. They're driving really fast. Why? They're mad. They don't have a job. They're losing their house. They're losing their rent. They can't pay their rent. They're just going through a lot of traumatic feelings right now. We have to know people are going through a lot. Don't be angry at them on top of that, because that's not going to help. It's not going to help you, and it's not going to help them. Through grief, we protest the loss. We don't want to lose that. I remember when someone came over to my house and told me your dad died. I was like, because I knew he was at that. I wanted to be with him. I wasn't with him. I didn't even get to talk to him the day before. I was, what if? I should have been. You go through all of this stuff in your head. Sadness, anger, self-pity, shock, denial. The first thing that we go through is shock and denial. This can't be happening. This isn't happening. And at first it is kind of a blessing, because it keeps you out of all the other emotions. You're just numb. But after a while, the denial wears off and you have to face your pain. If you prolong facing that pain, it's just going to get dragged out and you could make it much, much worse. So the purpose of grieving is to face it, work through it. The only way is through. So you can live with this loss in a healthy way. When we lost our pet, my sister Randy loves animals. She works for a vet today. But she grieved and grieved and grieved. She was so attached to that dog. And, people are attached to different things. And when they lose them, even though you don't think it's just a dog. Well, it was more than a dog to her. It was a companion. It was everything. She didn't have a boyfriend. She had a dog. And she loved that dog. So she had to work through it. And her way of working through it was to buy more dogs. And she's got a lot of dogs, and she works for a vet, and she still, has a lot of attachments to animals. Where me, not so much. I like little tiny house pets that sit on your lap and they're cute. But, everybody's different. I'm not as attached. When our dog died, I remember, his breath was so bad and his teeth were stunk. It was really time for him to, go home. Now, that wasn't her response at all. She was freaked out, sad, shocked. So everybody's going to go through maybe even some of the same things differently. And don't say, well, yours is the proper way. If they grieve and they cry, that doesn't mean that they're weak and they have no faith. It means they were very strongly invested in that thing. Okay, I'm trying to close here. Paul's thorn, God said his grace was there to overcome the shock and denial. He said, my grace is sufficient for you. So whatever our thorn might be, whatever we're going through, we trust God's grace to help us through it. And some of the worst things you can do is giving people faith answers. Faith pet, well, they're in heaven now. That doesn't help at all. Right now, they don't need you to preach to them. They just need a shoulder to cry on, and you need to let them weep. Maybe it's just hold their hand and say nothing and just put love into them. So we need to face our losses, whatever we're going through. Don't deny it. Don't minimize it. Oh, it's just a job. No, it was your job. It was big to you. Don't minimize your loss. Well, it's just my mom, and she was, that's your mom. Nobody can tell you how to grieve your loss. So don't minimize your loss. It's going to hurt you in the end. Don't bury it and don't postpone it, especially the men. Don't bury it and don't postpone it. Whatever. No, that's not the way you deal with it. This drags it out. You have to feel and face your emotions. It's a loss, and I'm grieving. I'm not sick. I'm recovering through my tears. There's nothing wrong with me for crying. I had a strong investment in that relationship, and it's gone. Allow yourself to feel the waves of pain and get rid of them. Get them in and out. Otherwise, if you stuff it, so that's why I'm telling you guys, especially men, don't stuff it, because it's going to come out in a wave sideways of anger and hit somebody else, and they won't even know what they did or said. But because you didn't deal with it correctly and let it come out, it came out sideways is the only way I can explain it. Now you're going home to the uninvited guests of anger, fear, anxiety, depression, and self-pity. Why did this happen to me? And if you don't even deal with that self-pity, you're going to be a person no one wants to be around, because you're at a party with all the candles, invite everyone, no one comes but you. It's my party, and I'll cry if I want to. You're always sad. You're always depressed. Again, tears are very important. And Joseph, we don't have time to go there, but Joseph in 42, remember, his dad, Jacob, loved him more than all the others. Shouldn't have done that, but he was highly invested in Joseph. And he thought Joseph died. And what did he do? Jacob, what did he do? I'm in the wrong place here. I'm trying to close. I'm going too long. Genesis 42, Joseph cries when he sees his brothers, and he goes in a private place and he weeps. Why? The pain. He was thrown in a pit. They thought he was dead, right? Now here he is. They don't know who he is. He recognizes them. And what does he do? He doesn't get angry and scream and yell at him, I'm alive! He went and he wept. He dealt with his loss of his whole family. So he wept over there. And then in Genesis 37:35, Jacob mourns over Joseph. This is what I meant to say before. Jacob mourns over Joseph. He wasn't dead, but Jacob thought his son Joseph was dead. And then it says, and all his sons, back then they had a lot of children, all his sons and all his daughters rose up to comfort him. But what? He refused to be comforted. And you'll find this, especially with certain people, they will refuse comfort because they think if they get comforted, that'll mean that they weren't attached and that they can't keep that relationship alive. So they continually grieve. They don't get any comfort. And they live, I saw a girl that lost her dad. She lived in constant grief. We couldn't get her out of it. And bad things have happened to her relationships because she continually grieved and wouldn't move on. He refused to be comforted. And he said, I shall go to the grave mourning my son. He thought that was a great noble thing, but he didn't move on. And he caused more problems with his other sons because that son died, he took his mourning out on all the other children. So Jacob wept for Joseph. Chronic grief. People keep the loss alive through grief. The mourning continues and it has no closures. You don't want to go to the other extreme of chronic grief. So he didn't know how to handle the loss of his favorite son. He didn't handle it properly. He didn't grieve properly. Now there's an empty space in your life. Whatever you're going through right now, there's an empty spot, there's an empty space, and I must learn how to function without it. Whatever's gone. Some things I don't do anymore. We have to say goodbye to some things. And as you learn how to say goodbye, when you learn how to grieve, when you learn how to let go and give it to God, it helps transition you into the next phase of our life. Even though we've lost some liberties and could stand to lose more, we haven't died. We still have life. We still have to be able to function. We have to do what God tells us to do, right? Because we are grieving right now. A lot of losses. This is an election year. Expect a lot of chaos, a lot of confusion. Things are happening that have never happened in the world that we've experienced. Revelation 6:1, I believe that white deceptive horse is here saying peace, safety. When it's got authority and what? It dominion. Things are changing. Laws are changing. What do we do? Do what God tells us to do. We were promised in all these places of worship that it's all about you and your dream. Well, guess what? It never was about us. We are here for a short time. What is your life? It's but a vapor that appears for a little while. Do what God tells you to do now. If you get a loss, grieve that loss. Mourn that loss. Move on. Help people. They're losing things. They're losing their jobs. More jobs might be lost. How many people are unemployed right now? They're grieving. They're sad. Don't expect them all to be, oh, yay. You know, we're having these little parties at our house. That makes me angry, too, because I call this house arrest. I do. I have from the beginning. This usually when people are sick, the sick people stay home. Now they're saying in New York more people died that have stayed in homes. Confusion, chaos, division. Let's not divide over it. Make sure that you deal with fear, offense, and today how to deal with losses. And everyone said?
Amen. Be sure to hit the subscribe button and hit the bell button so you can be notified of the newest videos. We are viewer supported. If you would like to donate, please go to livinginhispresence.org. In the upper right-hand corner, there is a give button. Thank you, and see you next time.